I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There was not a sweeter melody, and I know it's the my love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmonies, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. It is good to see you. I'm glad you braved the weather and you got out. What's been amazing is, as I talked to Lance last night and this morning, and that is this weather this weekend has changed almost hourly. And it made it hard to gauge what to do. And finally at 7:30 this morning, I talked to Lance and we looked at it and they were predicting the worst to hit around 9 to 10. And so we said, let's cancel Sunday school and not try to get people out in that hour and allow people to get here for worship because the temperature is rising. So thank you for being here. It is good to see you. And I pray that you've had a good weekend. I've got broke in real good last Monday morning. I got up to 5 inches of snow on my car at the motel. And I thought, well, I may not get home tonight. But it wasn't bad. By afternoon, the roads were clear and I was able to get home. But this is one of the things that I prayed about and will adjust to. And unless there is a major storm that keeps me from getting here or people in the church, I plan to be here. So just to let you know, and because I don't like closing church. So, but welcome. And I'm going to do it by telling a little story first. But anyhow, there was this guy that was on business in another town, and he was a big golfer. So one evening after he got done with his business, he went out to the golf course, and he said to the golf pro, he said, look, he said, I'd like to play 9 holes this evening. He said, but my vision's not all that good. Do you have somebody that has good vision that I could ride with and play with that could spot my ball? And the guy said, well, there's a man sitting out on the front porch, said he's got the eyes of an eagle and he loves riding with people. He doesn't play, but he would love to ride with you and spot your ball. So the guy goes out, asks the fella. He said, yes, I'd love to go with you. I can see really good. And so got to the first tee, the guy teed off, hit his ball, went way down the fairway, and he looked at the guy and he said, I've got you, I see your ball, I know right where it went. Well, they get taken off down the fairway and they get down so far and he said, now where's my ball? And the guy riding the cart with him says, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? You told me you could spot the ball. He said, I can. But he said, I don't have any memory. Well, I tell that because when I came to church this morning, I was tieless. Somehow, I forgot a tie. And you've got to understand my wife. She thinks the pastor needs a tie in the pulpit. I got up and went to Walmart. Walmart doesn't have ties. So I thought, boy, this is not going to work out very good. And then I get here, and there are Christian people, and here comes Tommy in with a nice tie on. And when he found out Susan didn't like me not having a tie, he took his off and gave it to me to wear. So that's nice, isn't it? I appreciate that. I told Dee, I said, I think I understand in part why you married him. He's a nice guy. So anyhow, well, we are glad that you're here, and we pray that you'll open your heart to what God wants to say and do in this service, in this hour. to encourage us in the days ahead as we seek to live our life for Him in this world. Let's pray together. Well, God, we're just so grateful for those who have come today, and we're mindful there are just a lot of other people that would love to have been here, but for them, they weighed out the weather, and it was not a good option, and we understand that. In fact, Father, I've learned to encourage people, if you're not sure of the weather, I'd rather you stay safe and at home than to come to church or try to come to church and get hurt. And I know they're with us in spirit. Many of them are watching us on Facebook, and we just thank you for their presence in that way. And we just pray, Father, in this hour that you will minister to us in a mighty way. God, we walk through the week and we come to the Lord's Day as we start the week, and we just need words of encouragement, words that challenge us, words that remind us that you're going to make the journey with us. And so we look forward to the new week because we serve an awesome God who loves us and provides for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now may He reign upon this service. And may He move in power upon our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. On behalf of the SALT Women's Ministry, I just wanted to let everyone know about an upcoming event that we have on Saturday, January 29th. It didn't quite make it in the bulletin this week, but we wanted you to go ahead and save the date for it. From 10 to 12 here at church, we're going to be having a craft outreach with Miss Renee, Renee Lay, and she's going to guide us in making a floral wreath that'll look great for Valentine's Day, but also great for the spring that's coming. And it'll be a neat opportunity to either keep the wreath for yourself, but also we're going to be giving the option to give that away to someone who would appreciate it if you feel like doing that. So it'll be $15, and you can bring cash or check. The check can be made out to Renee Lay. And we're looking forward to it. We're excited to get back together, and we hope to see you there. Thank you.
So many things have happened in this past year and in these last few months that create fear, that create unrest, and most of all, try to drive a wedge between people and the Lord, because people who don't know ask the question, why is God allowing these things when they don't know that He's the just and righteous and loving God, right? So this song, although it's a little older song, talks about how we need peace, how our hearts need peace, our world needs peace, and most of all, we just need to be reminded of who the Prince of Peace is. Never has the world been in such a need of peace, and never has contentment been so hard to find. So many men reaching out their hands are brothers and sisters, so many lands. If ever kindness was needed, then it's crying out to us, the time is now. I want the peace and I want the love for all the world, for the people of joy, the children of hope, for all the world. Father of lights, I'll be a light that you shine through, 'cause you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world. When are we gonna start to show some charity? compassion and mercy the way it's meant to be. And tell me who will take the time for the ones who truly need and pray for the nation that's out on the street. What man is greater than his brother? When in Jesus' eyes we're all the same. I want the peace and I want the love for all the world, for the people of joy, with the children of hope, for all the world. Father of light, I'll be a light that you shine through. Because you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world.
Learn a song of freedom and teach it to our children.
Let the pipes of peace break out, but then the grace of God will lead the way. The world, for the people of joy, the children of hope, for all the world. Father of light, I'll be a light that you shine through. Because you are the peace and you are the hope for all the world. You are the peace. You are the joy, you are the light, and you are the song for all the world, for all the world.
Amen. Charles Schulz, in his comic strip, Peanuts, once penned a comic strip that had Charlie Brown going to visit his psychiatrist, Dr. Lucy. And so Dr. Lucy asked him, what's the problem? And he says, well, Dr. Lucy, I want you to help me find another world to live in. And she looked at him. She said, Charlie Brown, have you ever lived in another world? He said, no. She said, do you even know if there is another world? And he said, no. And then she looked at him and she said, Charlie Brown, it seems to me that what you need to do is to learn to live in this world. And I want to suggest to you this morning, there are a lot of people that are struggling living in this world today. I mean, all you have to do is just be attentive to people, and it's not so much what they say in words as what they communicate in many other ways, but they are struggling with all the issues they're facing and the things that are going on, and life is a struggle to them. And I want to suggest to you that we as believers, and this goes on with believers too, you'd be surprised the number of Christians that I run into who talk about their struggle with life, living in this world. But I want to suggest to you that we desperately need to learn to live in this world. And I think the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, gives us a good first step in learning how to live in this world. And what I want to do is begin here, but over the next three following Sundays, add to that in ways that we need to understand that will help us learn to live in this world. But Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And as he writes to the church at Rome, you need to understand that Paul was unique in the way he wrote, because he would write his epistle and the first part of the epistle would deal with teaching, doctrinal issues, and things of that nature. And then the last part would deal with application. So when you come to chapter 12, he's now going to apply truth to what he had said in the first 11 chapters. And listen to what he says in those first two verses. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul begins this section with a strong exhortation. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I can remember when I was in high school and was reading through the Bible and came to this passage and started reading that and kind of got really caught up in those two verses. And I decided to kind of try to understand what it said, what it meant when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And what I learned was is that it is really a strong appeal, a strong exhortation, a great word of encouragement. And as a teenager, the picture that came to my mind was a picture of a young man proposing to his girlfriend. And you know the scene that takes place. He gets down on one knee and he holds the ring out and he looks up at her. And as he looks up at her, inside of his body, his heart is beating 900 miles an hour. And he's saying in his heart, please don't say no. Please accept. Please accept. Because he wants her hand in marriage. Well, that's kind of the concept here. Paul is pleading for the Roman church not to turn a deaf ear to what he's getting ready to say, but rather to accept it and to apply it to their lives for the sake of Christ. For he says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, and that word therefore refers back to the last verse of chapter 11. Look at what he says there. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And by him he's speaking of God. In other words, Paul wants his readers to understand then, and I think it applies to us today, that our purpose in life, first and foremost, is to bring glory to God. We are to glorify God in everything that we do. So with that said, he says, this is what you need to do to bring glory to God. You need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, he says, you've got to come to a place where of your own volition, where of your own free will, your own choosing, you offer to God the totality of who you are. This speaks not just of our material things, but it rather speaks more heavily of who we are as a human being. Paul is saying, we've got to come to the place where we offer, and that means freely. We do it willingly, ourselves. You see, we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. If you remember in the Old Testament, as God established the way the Israelites would live during their Exodus and for years and years to come, that there would be sacrifices that would be made. And the animals were killed so that their blood could be used as a covering. Now that animal, not freely, but what happened was he offered the totality of who he was to become that sacrifice. And if you remember, the animals that were offered had to be pure, unblemished sacrifices. But in order for their blood to be used, they literally gave up their life. Paul is not saying here we need to give up our life physically. but rather that we need to learn how to become living sacrifices. In other words, we are willing to shed all of the things we hold of value to make the things of God the most valued things in our life. In other words, I'm willing to sacrifice things that I think, things that I believe in, things that I hope and whatever, to be consistent with the plan of God so that my life can in effect offer a covering to sinners out there. And by covering, I mean it doesn't atone for their sin, but gives them a witness that gives them an opportunity for hope in Jesus Christ. I'm to become a witness. I'm to become holy. That word holy is a word that means to be set apart. It means that we are to be different. When people see us, they ought to see a difference in our lives. Susan, growing up, had a pastor. Brother Duncan was so well respected in the community of Catlettsburg. And one of their reporters told me one day, she said, when you saw him walking down the street, you knew by the way he walked, he was a Christian. Can people say that about you and me? Do they know by the way we just walk down the street that we're a child of the King? You see, we are to be holy. Set apart, different. The sacrificial animals in the Old Testament were different. They were set apart because they were unblemished. And thus they were acceptable to God. And we need to understand that if I want to be fully accepted, if I want to be accepted in the presence of God and honor God with my life, I must be different. Now, that's not easy. I'm going to confess to you. That's kind of hard. The world out there is cruel to Christians. But we got to be willing to make that sacrifice. And then he said, this is your reasonable service. Again, when I first got into studying this passage, that phrase just blew my mind. What does he mean by reasonable service? Well, what he's talking about here is that he wants us to understand every day you and I, as a child of the King, as a follower of Christ, walk this earth. We are worshiping Him with our life. Now, either our worship is good and holy and pleasing to God, or it's not. Can I just be honest and say this? I've been in church services sometimes where I don't believe that our service was holy, acceptable. When you see people in a business meeting at war with one another, that's not holy. And I'm not saying we can't have differences, we can't express differences of opinion, but not the anger and the animosity that I've seen in times past. You see, we worship God every day by how we live. And so what he's saying here is, your reasonable act of daily worship. So we offer ourselves this living sacrifice. Why? Because we want to please the Father and we want to glorify the Father. We want people to see the Father in us. Well, if that's what he wants of my life, if he wants me to become a living sacrifice, then what's the process I go through? Well, Paul kept it simple. This is one thing I like about Paul at times. He could be simple. At other times, he could be challenging in his writings. But at this point, he wants us to understand how to go about becoming a living sacrifice. And he said, first of all, learn this. Don't conform to this world. Don't conform, and by the world he means don't conform to the system and the values that this world treasures and goes by. And can I just say that I personally believe that the church over the last 50 years has made a lot of inroads, or the world has made a lot of inroads into the church. I mean, I just look at various denominations. There was a day when Methodists and Baptists disagreed over baptism and some of those things. But when it came to other issues, like homosexuality, abortion, we stood together. Abortion is wrong. I'm going to share a real hard statement, but it's from the Word of God. Abortion is murder. It's taking the life of a human being. You can say, well, we don't know really when they become human. Yes, we do. Jeremiah said, before you formed me, you knew me. Paul says, before I was ever born, you'd already laid out a plan for my life. You knew what I was going to do and what I was going to become. You see, it's become commonplace. And I'm praying that in light of the Supreme Court, we'll see a movement in the other direction. But abortion, homosexuality. I want you to understand something as I preach this morning. I've got friends who are homosexuals. I work part-time for two men who are homosexuals. They know where I stand. They know what I believe. And they know I don't agree with their lifestyle. But I've had a few occasions where I've had inroads to be able to express my convictions and why I believe their lifestyle is wrong. If I had nothing ever to do with them, they would never have any hope. Because while the churches they go to and they're active in believe homosexuality is all right, they hear from me that it's not. And it's becoming so prevalent and so bad that let me tell you what I see on the horizon. There's going to be a day when there will be no pure women athletics. Already we're seeing fields like swimming where transgender people, males, are saying they're females. And they're dominating the sport. And what's going to happen is these young ladies are just going to drop out. They can't compete. Why work? Why train? Well, what's happening? The world, everybody's conforming to the world. And you'd be surprised at those who profess to be Christians, who accept this and agree with this and say this is all right. Let me bring it a little closer to home and something that I deal with somewhat on a daily basis with a guy that's one of my friends, and that is language. He uses profanity. And I talked to him. And since I first met him about 8 years ago, he has become a Christian, but he hasn't come to see the problem with profanity. And part of it, you know why it is? Because listen to me, I know preachers that use profanity. Not just the common person in the pew, but the leaders in the pulpit. And I have one pastor say, well, Don, this has got to be common language. My question is, who made it common? Do you really think that's a language that God would like for us to use and that honors God? You see, the world keeps creeping in. There's some, quote, music they call Christian music I question. Now, as you get to know me, you find out I'm not into contemporary music, be it Christian or secular. I've never been into rock music. But there is some good Christian contemporary music out there. But then there's some bad stuff. But it's making its way in, and it's becoming acceptable. You see, we're conforming to this world, and the Apostle Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we're to be conformed into the very likeness of the Son of God. And what we need to do is realize I need to measure what I do, what I say, what I think in light of what Jesus says, what Jesus does, what Jesus wants. You remember they used to have the bracelet, "What would Jesus do?" We need to remember that as Christians. So if I'm going to learn to be a living sacrifice, I've got to make sure I don't pattern my life after the world I'm in. I pattern it after the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's where I want my life to be patterned. And then he goes on to tell us in this passage, there's a reason why he commends us to do this. He says here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what he's saying here in being transformed is that we've got to have a different mindset. Paul writes to the Philippians, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And that word transform comes from an interesting word. It comes from the word we get metamorphosis. And you and I can remember that. I can remember it better when I was a kid than as an adult. You know, when I was a kid growing up, butterflies were plentiful. It's hard to find a butterfly anymore. But I can remember seeing butterflies, and I learned butterflies come from these wonderful little creatures that boys used to take and try to put on girls to hear them scream, called caterpillars. And girls would just shrivel up at the thought of a caterpillar, you know. All you had to do was have it in your hand and walk up to them and they'd start backing off, you know. But as the process of their life moves along, they eventually climb up into a shrub or to a tree and attach themselves and spin a cocoon. You don't see them for a while. You see a cocoon. But finally, the day comes when that cocoon cracks open. And out comes not a caterpillar, but a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And what he's saying is that if we're not going to conform to this world, then we've got to be transformed. That is, from the inside out, we've got to be changed. And that change can only come when we allow the Spirit of God to come in and dwell in us and work in us and illuminate the teachings of Scripture and then help us to memorize it and apply it to life. And as we allow that Word to sink into us under the power of the Spirit, it begins to mold us and make us more like the Savior. So we're going to be transformed. Because if we're going to glorify God, here's what's needed in the world. We need people who are living sacrifices, transformed by the Spirit of God, so that we can prove to the world that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Through the years as a pastor, I've had a lot of people say to me, "Preacher, I don't need to come to church. I'm as good as so-and-so, and I'm as good as so-and-so, and I'm as good as so-and-so." And while I know the real issue is their salvation, what really breaks my heart is this, that these pillars in the church are so inconsistent in what they communicate in their daily life to the lost, that the lost don't see any value in the church or in Jesus. And the only way we're going to make a difference in this world is when Jesus is so absolutely important to us that nobody can be around us and not know that we are a Jesus freak. That we are sold out to the Savior. And to do that, we must be a living sacrifice. Paul urged the Romans to understand that. He pleaded with them to cling to that understanding that it's all about the Father and bring honor and glory to Him. As a boy growing up, I'd like to say I was the perfect son, but I wasn't. I'd like to be one of those kids that said, my parents never whipped me. Man, that'd be the biggest lie I ever told. But I know one thing. There were a lot of times I was faced with things that I thought I wanted to do. But I knew if I did them, I'd break my dad's heart. And I didn't want to break my dad's heart. And so I wouldn't do them. And that's the way it's got to be with us. We got to say, Father, I don't want to break your heart one time. So help me. Empower me through your Spirit to become that living sacrifice so that when people see me and get to know me, they'll want to know what makes me different because they like what they see. And what they see is that your way, your will, is not only good, it's not only acceptable, but it is absolutely perfect for your life. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know where you are in your journey with Jesus, but I want to ask this morning, as you think about your personal life, are you living each day as an act of worship that you might be a living sacrifice to the Father? That you're living a life that causes others to look at you and see the difference. And while they may never come out and say it in words, in their heart they're longing to have what you've got. And so you live your life and it shows them that God's way is the right way. The best way, the only way for them. If not, would you ask God in these moments this morning to help you to become that living sacrifice? Would you ask Him to forgive you because you haven't been that living sacrifice, but from this day forward, you want to be? Because I think when we learn to be living sacrifices, we'll see a vast difference in people around us. And if we as a church are living sacrifices, we'll be drawing people here to find out how they can have what we have. So ask God to change you. And if you're here and you've never met Jesus personally as Lord and Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning because that'll be the greatest decision you ever make. It'll be greater than who your mate is. It'll be greater than your job. It'll be greater than any other choice you make because you will be making a decision that will take you into eternity and into the very presence of the Father. So, Father, as your Spirit moves and speaks, in a moment we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. God, I just pray that your way will be done in our lives and that people will respond to you, that people will do what you're calling them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We stand together and sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Would you do that? If you need to speak to me or want me to pray with you, I'll be here at the front. You come. Share that decision that we might rejoice with you as a church family, because remember, we're a family. And as we pray for one another, we get stronger. So you come. Give us that opportunity.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my day, let their flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thy own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be my royal throne.
As always, let me just share this with you. I will stay here as long as I'm needed. If you're here and you want to talk to me, you come down here. I'm going to stay here at the front this morning, and I'll take whatever time. If God's dealing with you about a matter, if you just want me to pray with you about something, you come, and let's talk to God about it, okay? This is your opportunity to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, again, let me thank you for coming out. It's been kind of a rough day. Be careful. I don't know what the roads are like. The temperatures are supposed to be going up. And kind of humorously, if they don't go up, ours may go up. But, but be careful going home. And then tonight, business meeting, come back for that. And I'm going to make one more appeal, and that's this. I believe in Vacation Bible School. And you just get used to that. You're not only going to hear the deacons or the VBS director or somebody say, you're going to hear me say this time and time again, and that is, we need workers. More children and families are reached through Bible school than about any other ministry a church has. And this is why Vacation Bible School ought to be one of the priority ministries of a church. And so, you know, that week, a Bible school will be here every day, because I'm not going to encourage you to do something that I don't show up and do myself. And so everybody in here, you pray, because everyone in here could find a place of ministry in Bible school. And we ought not to have to beg for workers. We ought to have an overflow of workers. And so I want to encourage you. Remember Vacation Bible School and pray and ask God where you could fit in. If you're not sure, just call Trish and she will tell you where you can fit in, all right? Or she will give you some options of where you can fit in, okay? And so do that, all right? Let's pray together and let God bless us as we part. Father, you're such an awesome God. Thank you for your word that challenges us. Thank you for Paul, who came out of a life of persecuting the church to being one of the great servants of the kingdom. And a part of one of the greatest missionary moments the world has, or missionary movements the world has ever known. And out of that, in his relationship with you, he has penned so much from you for us. Thank you for his word today. May we truly become living sacrifices for you.